Okay, this is February 9th, See God and Everything.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here it is. Almost Valentine's Day. So we're speeding right along in this month also. So the topic for the whole month is See God and Everything. So, Marcia, will you turn to Rhoda and say, I am the Beloved. I am the Beloved. Why is that so important for us to know? It's important for us to know because Christianity and other religions have always wanted to make something special. And Christianity wanted to make Jesus special. So they said Jesus is the only begotten Son and the Beloved of God. We have to remember that we are all the Beloved of God, and that we are all begotten by God. We are all begotten sons and begotten daughters of God. There is no other thing that we can be, since if we say that God is everything, that God is everywhere, that God is the only power, the only life, then we must be part of that. So don't separate yourself from that idea and the lies and the myths that have been taught to us throughout the centuries is that there was only one Son of God. And then they went on to make that Son of God, of course, God itself, which is quite all right, by the way. You see, we're all in the process of becoming God. And we have to remember that. Remember, we are godlings. And how do we start to do that? Well, let's take Rod's idea with the car and cutting people off. You see, you have to sit and you have to start to think, what would God do? How would God act in this situation? And then you start to take on those God-like qualities yourself. You see, you're always creating yourself, but you're creating God at the same time. And the whole idea is to become God. That is why you're on this plane of action, to realize that. So, we give those things up. Why? We give up or surrender to that idea because it's the only reality that there really is. Anything else that's going on out there is an illusion. So once we start to realize that we are the Beloved, you see, you have to realize that this thing called God would be incomplete without you. God needs you as much as you need God. God does not enter this plane of action except through you. You see? So, the hands that you have are the hands of God. These hands do God's work. You see, this mouth and this mind teaches God's ideas. Otherwise, how are you going to get them? You see? So you just have to remind yourself of that. We have been taught that that's an impossibility, that God is somewhere else, that God is always looking down on us, that God is separated from us, and we are separated from God. And that God only ever had one child, and that child's name was Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's a nice story. It is a myth, you see, and it's been perpetuated. And you may keep that, by the way. You know, you never have to throw out any of this. All you have to do is look at it differently, in a different way, in a different perspective. I was talking to my cousin's wife this morning. They live in Pennsylvania. And they've been to this class also. They go to no metaphysical church in Pennsylvania. I don't know if there is one. In fact, there may be in Philadelphia, but I don't know. And she said, well, Dallas, thank you very much for teaching this. I sent them around the world, around the year with Ernest Holmes and around the year with Emmett Fox. So they're really enjoying it. And Jane said, the Emmett Fox book has really enlightened her on all the things that she knew from a regular brand name church about Jesus, but never quite understood and so forth. Well, in religious science, you see, we believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. The rest is all stories that they made up to fit into their scheme. They were building a religion, people. when Christianity started out, it was a cult. It was a cult. And it had to become mainstream. And the only way that it could become mainstream is to come up with stories that were similar to the pagan stories that were already being told. You see, that's why we have what we call the, not magical, mystical, birth. All religions at that time, pagan religions, had a magical birth of some type, you know, a swan had a child, Zeus, or this, that, and whatever, all that kind of stuff. So, this teaching takes and looks at things metaphysically, and it looks at all the things that Jesus said metaphysically. And if you look at all those things differently, you see something more than you ever did before. Now, I also said to Jane, which I often say in this class, one of the tenets of Christianity is you can do this in greater things, which is a saying of Jesus that's attributed to Jesus. Now, whether Jesus actually said that or not, we don't know, because no one was running behind Jesus with a tape recorder. So this is all hearsay, and you have to realize that most of the things in the Bible that you are reading were written down 500 years after. 500 years after. So it was by word of mouth up until then. And then they started to write all this stuff down. So that is one of the things that we want everyone in this class to understand, that you can do this in greater things, that you can do this in more. Now, brand name religions don't want to tell you that, because if you did, you wouldn't be going to their churches on Sunday and paying for their parking lot, you see. So they're not going to tell you that you can do this stuff at home. They're not going to tell you that you can do this on your own. They're going to tell you that you need them. I am telling you that you do not need religious science. You do not need me. What you need is your own thinking, you see. Most people become metaphysicians if they live long enough, because it's the only thing that the rational mind, the intelligent mind, can understand. So the rest of it is all myth. It's all story. So with the idea that you are the beloved, think of that all day long also. I am the beloved. I am part of God. All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. And then start to do that for yourself. Start to say, on the little CDs that I'm hoping everyone is listening to, you will think one of the things on that is, what is the only question that you ask? And the only question you ask is, what would love do now? Or, what would God do now? So if I'm driving along and somebody cuts me off, I have to say immediately, what would love do now? What would God do now? Love and God are the one and the same thing. So you constantly ask yourself those questions. How would God act in this situation? How would God think in this situation? You have to realize that when you think, God thinks. When you think, God thinks. Why is that? Because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. There is only one mind. If there wasn't only one mind, we would all be seeing something different. Because we see with the mind, not with our eyes. So we can prove that there's only one mind. So, know that you are the beloved. And know, because you are the beloved, this thing called God is well pleased with you. Well pleased with you. You see the difference there, what it would make to realize that something out there loves you and is so pleased with you. But we run into trouble because we're not pleased with ourselves. We're not pleased with ourselves. Now here again, let's go back to Robin in it. I hope that you're pleased with yourself even though you cut that man off. Or whatever you were doing. You have to always be pleased with yourself. You say, that wasn't right. It didn't feel right. I perhaps could have done that differently. But I didn't. But I'm pleased with myself. And I'm learning something here. And the next time, I'll only cut him off half as much. And then the next time, it'll till you finally are able to do it. You're finally able to do it. You see, we always think, oh, well, I have to do this all at once. I have to be good all at once. I have to do, oh, my. No. Always be well pleased with yourself. Because this thing called God is always well pleased with you. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never, never, never. So remember that you are the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased. And give up the idea that you are bad, that you've done something wrong, that you're not good enough, you see, that you're less than. These are all concepts and lies that the world outside has taught you, what I call grace mind. That's in race mind. It is also one of the myths of Christianity, that you were born sinners. Now, how the hell could that be? You were just born, and already you're sinful? You see? Doesn't make sense, does it? You see, you can't hold this together intellectually. You can't hold Christianity together intellectually. They want you to accept it on faith. They want you just to accept that. This is the way it's happened. Da 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 da. You know. No, it didn't happen that way. And here again, that doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference in your life is not how much you love God, how much knowledge you think you have of God, and what you believe about God. What matters in your life is what you believe about yourself. Do you love yourself? Do you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? With that, let's do the matter test. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So, let's talk a moment about seeing God in everything. Last week, if you remember, I had a fortune cookie, fortune thing, and it was about prosperity, and that was wonderful. This week, from my tea bag, yoga tea, oneness is achieved by recognizing yourself. Oneness is achieved by recognizing yourself. You see, you must always recognize yourself. You must always see yourself as whole and complete and perfect, as worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Once you see the oneness in yourself, then you see the oneness in everything. But we're looking for something else all the time. Remember, it's always going to come back to you. It's always going to come back to you. What are you thinking about yourself? What you think about all day long is what you become. So what are you thinking about yourself? Do you know? So I was going to tell you a cute story about myself. So I'm in the bathroom this week, shaving. I'm at the mirror, having a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, my mind goes, "You've never done anything right, Dallas." Where does that come from? Where does that come from? You know, we were doing a year or so ago, I used to do these race mind alerts. Now we're just going to do mind alerts. This is an alert to your mind. Are you going to accept that? Am I going to accept that? I just stopped shaving and sat right down on the john and put myself back together. And I said, where did that come from? It's absolutely not true. This is my mind. This is this ego part of my mind. And it never allows me to feel any achievement whatsoever. So I sit down and I tell it, you have never been my friend. You have never brought me any good news. Now go back to the nothingness from whence you came. And then I got back up and continued my shaving. But has this not happened to so many people? You know, my sister-in-law, for years, could not iron. And I said, why? Now, she can iron. What? She said, because when I get to the ironing board and get the iron dowels, my mind turns in on me. Then that's when her mind starts to tell her, you're no good, this is happening, that's happening, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right. Because it's something, you slow down, you're doing something new. And the mind attacks you. The mind attacks you. So look at that in your own life and just know, oh, that's just my mind doing that to me. But you have to sit yourself down and you have to correct that. And you see so many people hear that and they go right on doing whatever they're doing. They do not correct it and they start to believe it. They start to believe it. Where that comes from, people always ask me, well, why does that do that? Oh, I don't know. If I knew why that was like that, I'd be a multimillionaire probably by now. I don't know why. Except we live, move, and have our being not only in the mind of God, but we're always walking in and out of thought atmospheres. We're always doing that. So that could have been something from a way back when. It could have been anything. But as soon as your mind relaxed enough, whatever I was doing, it relaxed enough to put that zinger in there. So you just have to get that zinger to go right out the other side. And then, again, forgive yourself for that. But recognize. Why do we have to recognize everything? Because you have to realize that you're not your mind. Your mind is yours. But the mind is going to do these little tricks to you all the time. And it's going to try to make you believe, convince you, that it is you. And as soon as you're able to laugh at that and realize, listen, mind, you're not going to do that to me, then you can start to control your thinking. This whole religious science thing is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And people wanted to turn it into a religion, and it's become a religion now. They call it that simply because they have churches around and so forth. But the whole premise of religious science is change your mind and change your life. It all has to do with mind, you see. Yes, there is a God. Yes, there's all this stuff. And that's all well and good. But I know tons of people in all these brand name churches that absolutely believe in God, and their life is a mess. Is an absolute mess. You see, it doesn't matter how much you love God. If you don't love yourself, it does not mean anything. It is not of value to you. Because it hasn't changed you in any way. You see. And our idea here on this plane of action is to become something wonderful. To become God itself. You see, we're already God. We're already God. You can't be anything else. If everything is God and you're made from God, then what else could you be? Chopped liver? No, you have to be God. So then you have to start thinking, how farther do I want to carry that? How much farther do I want to carry that? You can carry it to the extreme if you want to. But you have to start thinking God thoughts after it. How would God act in this situation? That's the only way you're ever going to prove that there is a God. So it's just, we're just refining our thinking all the time. We're polishing ourselves all the time. We're taking the rough edges off ourselves. What does that mean, taking the rough edges off ourselves? All that chatter that goes on inside of there, you know, all those emotions that we think are so important, hatred and all that kind of stuff, you see? We have to change. So that's what this teaching is about. It's teaching us that we do not have to repeat the past. The world teaches you that the past repeats itself, that history repeats itself. And as long as you believe that history repeats itself and the past repeats itself, it continues to do that. How many people here still are under the assumption that there will always be war because there always was war? You see? We still have that. We have that in our society. Do you think everyone is out making peace marches and talking about peace and so forth, and we must end war? But we're developing more weapons than we ever have in our entire history. Now, you don't develop a weapon unless you plan to use it, people. You don't stockpile all this stuff and say, well, we're just doing it, but we're never going to use it. You know? Go to Washington. They have a college there called the War College. My cousin lived in Washington. I used to go by that. I said, Dennis, if that's the War College, where's the Peace College? There's no Peace College, but there is a War College. You see? So we're trying to change our minds. And we try to change our minds by seeing God in everything and in everybody. But in ourselves, see that. You see? We have to see that. So when we have these mind alerts, when I'm shaving and my mind says, Dallas, you've never done anything right, I have to realize that did not come from God. Why did that not come from God? Because I know I'm the beloved in whom God is well pleased, so God wouldn't talk to me that way. So why would I allow my mind to talk to me that way? See, the ego mind is limited. It's limited in its thinking. The mind of God is unlimited. So we want to move and start to think in an unlimited way. In a God way. And then we start to see things differently. But we fall for that trap constantly. We allow our mind to run our life for us. You're saying. To run our lives for us. Everyone wants to be loved. But you have to know that you already are the beloved. You're already loved. And start with that premise. I am the beloved. I'm already loved. And then move out from there. Instead of trying to find somebody constantly to love you. Love yourself. Why is it so important to love yourself? Because you're the only person that will never leave you. You're the only person that will never leave you. So if you also then go to the idea that there is no beginning and there is no end, then you have to realize that you are here for an eternity. Now, if you were settling down with somebody and you knew it was for an eternity, wouldn't you really want to love that person? I mean, eternity is a long time. So do you want to live through eternity with somebody you don't like? You see, it's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. So learn to love yourself. Learn to see God inside of you. Where else could God be? Yes, God is everywhere. God is on the outside. God is through everything and everybody. But we're never looking inside. We're looking outside for confirmation of God. Look inside for that. Look inside of yourself. And the only way you're going to find that, by the way, is to say, I have it. You see? You just have to make up your mind. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. And then when your mind says, oh, don't you think you're something? Ha ha ha. Or your mind will say, ah, what are other people going to think? They're going to think you're insane, Dallas, you know. They're going to think you're insane. When I grew up, I had cousins that were very religious. My father called them the Bible thumpers. You see, so you get a bad connotation. If you think that you're God, or you think you're spiritual, or you think you're religious, you don't only go so far because you don't want people thinking too badly of you. You see, what will they think? What will they think? You see? Yes. When we talk to God, we call it prayer. When God talks to us, we think we're crazy. Think about it a moment. Yes. Somebody says, God talked to me. You think, oh, what a nutcase that is. There's a nut. You see? Don't do that to yourselves. Talk to God all the time. Why? Who else are you going to be talking to if there's only God? You have to be talking to God all the time. You have to be talking to God all the time. So this idea of seeing God in everything and seeing God in everyone and knowing that God is always giving you some type of message. Last week I had the fortune cookie message. This week I had the tea bag message. To me, this is God talking to me. You see? This is God talking to me. I never heard this before, and it made me absolutely, I went, oh, this is the most wonderful thing in the world. Oneness is achieved by recognizing yourself. By recognizing yourself. Who are you? Who are you? It was Gandhi who said, you must become the change that you want in this world. We must become the change that we want. And if we want to see God in everyone and everything, then we must start to be that ourselves. We must start to be that ourselves. Because it's there. It can be nowhere else. So, know that you are the Beloved. Know that. And let that sink into you. So that anyone can say anything to you and it won't bother you at all. Or somebody can cut you off in traffic. It won't bother you. Because you're coming from a higher place and a higher understanding, and you realize, I'm already loved. I don't care what those people do out there. They can be as crazy as they want. They can cut me off and do all this. I am the Beloved, in whom this thing I call God is well pleased. And then go about your driving and about your business and about your day. But start with that premise always. You have to program yourself. You have to use this wonderful mind that we have. And what's the largest tool that we have?
Our imagination.
Yes. So you have to start using your imagination. And you use your imagination by saying, how would God handle this? How would God handle this? You see, we are taught in this on this plane of action because of race mind that there are only ever two answers. It's either yes or no. You see? It's always black and white. Now we have to be able to know that there's always a God answer. There always has to be a third answer to everything. But we are so used to settling for only two that we don't see that. Because we use the little limited mind that we have. Instead of moving up in consciousness to this infinite mind, we remain finite. And you cannot remain finite. You must take your mind up to God. And most people are trying to bring God's mind down to them. You cannot put the infinite into the finite. But you can take the finite and put it into the infinite. And that's what you're trying to do. How do you do that? Here again, with your imagination. Each one of us is going to think about it differently. You see, we're all individualized expressions of God. What I do for myself. If it works for you, you may use it. If it doesn't work for you, then find your own way. Find your own way. See, anyone is going to tell you, as I said before, that they know about God, they're going to tell you all about God. Run the other way. You know everything that you need to know about God. It's all inside of you because you are the thing itself. And here's where we get into trouble. Because what we are looking for, we are looking with. So we look outside of ourselves. You see? And we must look inside of ourselves. And we must see that. We must see that. So we got ourselves into trouble years ago because of the history of Christianity, the history of religion itself, which is loaded with lies and loaded with myths. And we bought into most of those things. We were young. Everyone else was doing it. And who were we to question? You see, who were we to question? I grew up, I guess, in the 50s. And during that time, I was born in 1943, grew up into the 50s and so forth, went to the Lutheran church. All the people around me took everything that the religion said, as absolute gospel, you were not allowed to question anything. And if you were born a Lutheran, you usually stayed that the rest of your life, and you pass that on to your children. The same way with politics. If you were born into a Republican family, you stayed a Republican. You did not change any of that stuff. You just took that for granted, you see. Now, we know that we don't have to do that. We can question things. Not to tear people apart. Not to tear religion apart. I'm never here to tear religion apart. I think religion has done some absolutely mean, hateful, and rotten things. Absolutely. But then what institution hasn't? But then we must look, what good has it done also? We must look at that also. But you have to put it together for your own self. And you have to start seeing, is God in this or is God not in this, you see? And is this coming from God or is it coming from man? You see? And this is how you build your consciousness. This is how you restructure your thinking so that you can see yourself in a different light. So that you can see yourself in a different light. So that you can totally wake up in the morning and remain all day long in love with yourself. Loving yourself, just observing what's going on, being cut off on the highway, shaving and saying, some voice saying, you never have done anything right. You have to stop things. You have to stop those voices yourself. Remember, I used to, every morning when the alarm clock went off, it used to say, Dallas, get out of bed. You're never going to make anything of yourself. You're nothing but a rotten, lazy lounge lizard. Now hit the deck. Now, who wants to wake up to that, you know? Snooze alarm, say the same thing. Who wants that? So I changed that myself. You see, you have to change your mind. I can't change your mind. And God's not going to change your mind, people. You can pray to God, to kingdom come, to change your mind. It's not going to work. Why is it going to work? Because you have to do it yourself. God helps those who help themselves. You see, what gets most people in this type of philosophy or this type of religion is they hear some things, but they don't hear it all. But in anything that you're doing, you must take an action step. You must take an action step. It's always going to be God helps those who help themselves. So if you want your mind to change, you have to start changing it. Once you start changing it, then God will help you. But until you start, God will not. I always say God is too polite to butt in. But once you start, then God will come. God will come and help you. Remember the old German proverb that I had in my bedroom? I gave it away to a young man who needed it. And it was, begin to weave, and God will furnish the thread. But you always must begin. You always must begin. And he wanted to know the difference between focus and intention a couple weeks ago. There's a book Raymond Charles Barker wrote, which is called The Power of Decision. And in that book, Raymond Charles states, once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision, meaning God. God only comes once you make a decision. This is exactly what I want. This is who I want to be. This is the way I want to change. And then you must start to do something about that. You must start to do something about that. You know, when I was smoking cigarettes, 4 packs a day, by the way, I still had lungs. How? It's incredible. I stopped smoking, but it took me 20 years. Because I would say all the time, I'm going to stop smoking. But I never made the decision to stop smoking. I remember exactly when this thing called God came to me. I was driving along on Briarcliff Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia, on my way to work. And I was driving my car. And all of a sudden, I pounded my hands on the steering wheel. And I said, God, I will figure this out. If I have to kiss a snake, I am going to change. From that day on, my whole life changed. I stopped smoking, I stopped drinking, stopped doing a lot of other things, and I found religious science. But you have to make a decision, and sometimes you have to be dramatic about that. You just can't be nilly-willy and pussy-footy about this stuff. Remember, I often say, if you want a demonstration and you're not getting what you want, stomp your foot and say, I want it now. That's putting your emotions into work. That's putting your feelings at work. Remember, it takes warmth of feelings and thought to make a demonstration. You have to do that. For this thing called God, not that God is passive, God is very active, but God is polite. And everyone's sitting around waiting for God to do something. Believe you me, God's doing a lot of work, a lot of things. But God does not move into your life and take over and do things and help you until you make that decision. I want to change, and I want to change now. And then start to use your imagination. Start to believe that. You see. And then it starts to happen for you. But do you make that decision? Do you do something? It's not going to happen. So you have to make the decision to see God in everything and in everybody. And not fall for this illusion that's going on around you all the time. It's just an illusion out here. Doesn't mean anything. But once you start to know that you are one with God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is, and you start to make the decision that I am going to see God everywhere, then your life is going to change and your world is going to change. Because you must become the change that you want to see. I want people to be nice. I don't want war anymore. Okay. Then a clerk says something to you, go, that sort of blew that out of the water, didn't it? I don't want war anymore. And you go home and beat the dog. You have to see what you're doing. You have to step back and see what you're doing. You have to become a witness to your own thinking. What is my mind doing to me? And are you going to allow it to keep doing that? Are you going to allow your mind to keep telling you that you're second best, that there's something wrong with you, that you'll never make it? Are you going to let your mind say God cares about everybody else but me? Are you going to let your mind say, oh, well, they can make money because they have more talent, they have more this, they have more that, they were born in better, they have better connections? What's the only connection that means anything? The connection you have with God. God is always the source and the supply of your good. God is the only source and the only supply. It is not all the other stuff that you think it is. It is not. So start to see God in yourself and in everybody else. And have fun with it. Don't take this whole thing so damn seriously. God has a wonderful sense of humor. Have a sense of humor. Have a sense of humor. And see the wonderful things that are out there. Years ago, I was at the San Diego Zoo when an aardvark had a baby. Now, you think that that isn't funny. Did you ever see an aardvark? They're the funniest little things. Now, who could come up with an idea of an aardvark? You know, I love that word, don't you, aardvark? You see, God has a sense of humor. We must start to have a sense of humor. You see, we take everything so seriously. So I cut the guy off. All right, so laugh about it. You're not going to be condemned to any place. You see, that's the other big myth and the other big lie, that everyone's afraid they're going to suffer in hell. There is no such thing. I had a friend, Patricia, when I was in Knoxville, Tennessee. She was a Baptist. She said when she was a little girl, the Baptist minister gave a speech, and he said, you know, God separates the sheep from the goats. And she said, oh, I always thought I was a goat. I said, why'd you stay in that church? Why did you stay in that church? Goats go to hell, you say. Sheep don't. Who makes this crap up? You know, and they sit through all this, and then they put money in the collection plate. You know, do you want to put money in the collection plate for somebody to tell you that you're awful? You know, maybe I should start doing that. That basket would fill up. No, think about it. How can we be that dumb to ourselves? How can we do that to our own selves? Learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. You're magnificent. You have to know that. You're absolutely magnificent. You have a light inside of you. You have a life inside of you. You see? Use that. Use that. What does it say in the Bible? Do not put a bushel basket on top of the light. That means a light, this life, this God is inside of you. But you keep putting thoughts on top of it that you're no good, that you're not worthy, that that person doesn't like me, that I can't live without that love, I can't be this. You're just putting... How do you expect that light to shine through all that garbage? You have to start getting rid of the garbage in your life. And that means all that wrong thinking. All that negative thinking about yourself. Love yourself up one side and down the other. And then take it for a walk. Okay. Let me do some cards here because I had some wonderful ones tonight. I don't know where to start. Ah, we'll start with this one. You create what you believe. Now we know that. It's always going to be done unto you as you believe. What are you believing and what are you believing about yourself? Are you believing that all you are is God, that you are not all that God is? Do you say that to yourself constantly? Do you allow that to sink in? When you say that, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, do you listen to what your mind's echoing back to you? Is it saying, yes, you're right? Or is it saying, are you full of it? Is this another one of those horrible things? You see, you have to correct your own thinking. You have to correct your own thinking. I think these are the ones I like. Ah, the quest is to find out who is the creator of this reality. Who is the creator of your reality? You are. The quest is to find out who is the creator of this reality. Take not a blind leap of faith, but a leap of consciousness. Become gently and humorously aware of the emotional, mental, and physical drama that is going on in you. Let me say that again. Take not a blind leap of faith, but a leap of consciousness. Become gently and humorously aware of the emotional, mental, and physical drama that is going on in you. How many people here take all that stuff so seriously and become what we call drama queens and carry on about it? You see, you just become aware of what's going on inside of you and then know that that has nothing to do with you whatsoever. That's just going on. Acknowledge and feel that this accumulation of drama is not powerful enough to create the vastness of consciousness. To create the vastness of consciousness. God and you together are creating every moment. So is the small ego. The small ego, the one that says, we've never done anything right. Very small ego. Which one are you going to be aware of? It's always going to be that. Which one are you going to be aware of? Your God consciousness or this small little ego consciousness that bats you up against the head all the time? Here's God absolutely loving you, telling you that you're the beloved and so forth. And you go, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. The ego says, ah, you can't do anything right. Oh, yes, that's right. You see? The vastness. You have to get into the vastness of it. Not pick this little ego voice all the time to associate with and to identify yourself with. The limited ego itself, or the God self, you are always choosing, because you are always creating yourself constantly. You are the one that's creating yourself. You are the one that's creating yourself. So which one are you going to allow to be your boss? The vast mind and consciousness of God, or the small, limited ego mind, which is always going to tell you what? You're not enough, you don't do enough, and you don't have enough. The ego mind can never say any more than that. It's never going to tell you that you did a good job. I'm not going to be shaving along. It's going to say, oh, Dallas, it's just absolutely wonderful. You do everything right. No. The ego mind is not going to say that. It's going to say, Dallas, you've never done anything right. And if I allowed it to continue, it would have told me, and you never are going to do anything right. So you might as well give up right now. I know my mind. I was suicidal for years. I know all about that. In reality, there is no experience out there that you see clearly and then respond to. In fact, what you experience is your response to your own belief patterns. You're always going to be responding to your own belief patterns because you can't see reality clearly, because you do not see with your eyes. You see with your mind. There's another little saying that I love, which is, if I can recall it quickly, the world is not the way you see it, but the way you believe it is. So if you believe that we live in a world of stress, struggle, strain, sacrifice, and victimhood, that's the world you're going to be seeing. But if you know that you live in a world that is prosperous, abundant, loaded with wonderful opportunities and wonderful people, and completely lovable, then that is what you're going to draw into your life. You are doing that. It's a choice. It's constantly a choice. So don't allow the world to tell you any differently. The world and race mind is very convincing, and it wants to convince you otherwise. Don't allow it to do that to you. We're on this plane a very brief time, you know, at the maximum, 100 years. But we have an eternity to live. How do you want to live out eternity? Start practicing that now. Start loving yourself now. And then you'll be with somebody you love throughout eternity. You see? Many people are waiting to die because they think death will change them. Death doesn't change you. Remember the old joke when they told Betty Davis that Joan Crawford was dead? She said, it doesn't mean she's changed. Death does not improve you. And people think it does. And we buy into that because when somebody dies, we always... Yes. As though they were saints. We do that because we think now they're in a better place. You have to know you're in a better place right now. Why do you have to know if you're in a better place right now? Because there's only the now people. can't be anywhere. You can't be any place but right here. Now. So you have to love yourself now. Not tomorrow. Not this evening. But right here and right now. Right here and right now. Okay. You create what you see by the beliefs you hold about what you are looking at. You see, if you don't like somebody, if you think they're mean and hateful and spiteful because you picked that up from somebody else or that was your experience, then you'll always see that person as that. You'll always see that person as that. When I go home, it's very difficult for me because, you see, the people in my hometown only knew me for 18 years. So now when they see me, they only remember 18 years. They have no idea who I've become. But they can certainly tell me how bad I was in those 18 years.
Can you read that one again?
You create what you see by the beliefs you hold about what you are looking at. It's always going to be done unto you as you believe. This whole idea of beliefs and belief patterns is what's making your life, you know. Change your belief, change your mind, and everything else changes. Ah, this one I love. Is this physical reality all there is to life? Is this physical reality all there is to life? You've got to start seeing past the physical. You've got to start knowing that you're more than this physical life. That this thing called God has no beginning, has no end. Therefore, you have no beginning, you have no end. You always were and you always will be. You are the beloved in whom it is well pleased. And it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you. Thank you.